We're turning in our Bibles for the message today to the book of Romans, the 4th chapter, verses 20 through 22. I'm speaking on this subject, Romans 4, verse 20. I'm speaking on this subject, what God promised, God is able to perform. What God promised, God is able to perform. Now, in Romans 4:20, the Scripture says, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, catch this. And it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him for righteousness, but for us also, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Abraham believed, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and we can have that same righteousness if we believe. Now, the story behind this text is found in the book of Genesis. I wish you, when you listen to this program, would keep a pencil and paper handy, because I want you to search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. Your salvation is important, your relationship with God. And I want you to read the Word of God and see what the Lord says. I just want to help you to understand what the Scripture teaches about eternal life, about faith in Christ, about salvation. So, Genesis 18, that's where I want you to read later after the broadcast is over. But in Genesis chapter 18, the Scripture tells us that Abraham was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, Abraham was well up in years. He was 100 years old. And Sarah, his wife, was in her early 90s. And the Scripture says he was sitting there in the tent door in the heat of the day, and the Lord appeared to him in human form. Now, Abraham knew it was the Lord because God had spoken to him before. And so the Lord appeared to him, and Abraham said, Lord, if you will, let me get water and wash your feet and tarry with me a little while. And let Sarah fix some bread and some butter and some milk, and let me go get a calf and have it dressed and the meat fixed for you, and abide with me. And the Lord said to him, let it be as you say. And so Sarah got she made some cakes, some bread, and got some butter and milk, and the young man killed the calf, and they cooked the meat and brought it. And after they had eaten, and the Lord had fellowship with his friend Abraham, the Lord said to him, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Now, Sarah was listening back in the tent. And when she heard that, she laughed. And the Lord said, why did Sarah laugh? She was 90 years old. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for God? But Abraham didn't laugh. The Scripture says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. God promised this old man, 100 years old, that he would have a son by his wife who was 90 years of age, past the age of bearing children. But Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Abraham had learned to believe God. And he believed that God was able to perform all that he promised, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God. And because he believed God, he was called a friend of God. Because he believed God, it was reckoned to him, charged to his account, righteousness, and his faith brought him the blessings of God. Now, this is the keynote. Abraham believed God. Abraham had learned to believe God. He believed God when he didn't know when. God came to him. You know, Abraham was found. God found him down in a place where they worshiped idols. His family, his father, and his father's people did not worship God. They didn't know God. They worshiped idols. And God found him down there. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God called him out. He said, Abraham, his name was Abram then. God changed it to Abraham later. But he said, Abram, get thee out of thy father's house
and out of thy land, away from thy kindred, go to a land I will show thee. And God didn't tell him where that land was, just told him to leave. And Abraham believed God. And he left his home, and he left his kindred, and he left his folks. And he started towards this land. He didn't know where, but he believed God. And then here God came to him and said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. He'd never had a son. Sarah had never had a child. But he said, Sarah's going to bear a son that shall be your heir. And in him shall all the nations be blessed. And Abraham believed God. He didn't know how, but he believed God. And then when that boy was about 12, 14, 16 years of age, God came to Abraham one day and said, Abraham, take that son, your only son, whom you love, and take him up to Mount Moriah, 3 days' journey, and sacrifice him upon an altar unto me. And Abraham started out. He believed God. He didn't know why, but he believed God. He didn't know why God commanded him to do that. He didn't know why God would give him a son and turn around and take him away, but he just trusted God. He believed God. Without faith, my friend, it's impossible to believe, to please God. It doesn't say without faith it's hard to please God. It says it's impossible to please God. We need to examine this man's faith. He's called the father of the faithful. We need to examine his faith. If we would be the friend of God, if we would have the righteousness of God, if we would receive the benefits of faith, we're going to have to learn something about faith. And I don't know any better place to learn something about faith than studying Abraham's faith. He believed God. Now, if you go back to verse 17 there in Romans 4, let's see something about Abraham's faith. First of all, in verse 17, it says this. He believed God, who calls those things which are not as though they were. That was Abraham's God. Abraham's God, in other words, Abraham's God, his promises were as sure as the fulfillment of the promise. Isaiah wrote, God declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I'll do all my good pleasure. Abraham's God, a promise was as good as a fulfillment. He knew that God Almighty called those things which are not as though they were. Abraham knew that a son was as good as his because he had the promise of God, and the promise was as good as the fulfillment. The promise, somebody said, was as good as the product, because God said, now, I can't promise that way. I may promise you I'll be with you on this telecast next Sunday, and I may be in my grave. I can't fulfill those kind of promises. But what God promises, God's able to perform. And Abraham knew that. And then look at verse 18. Here's another definition of his faith. Against hope, he believed in hope. He walked not by sight, he walked by faith. Natural flesh said, what can't be done? That's the reason Sarah lied. She didn't have Abraham's faith. She lied. She said, shall I know pleasure again, my husband being old and old as I am? Impossible. But now, wait a minute. Nothing is impossible with God. Is anything too hard for God? That's what he asked Sarah. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. If God promises a thing, it's good as done. Faith begins. Now, you remember this. You keep, write this down in your heart. Faith begins where human strength ends. Where human ability leaves off, that's where faith takes up. You don't have any faith as long as you're resting in what you understand and resting in what you feel and resting in what you see. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. The assurance of things not seen, the proof of things not seen. Why is it evidenced? Why is it proved? God said it. It's as good as done. Who against hope, against human hope, human ability, human strength, he believed in hope. Then look at verse 19. He considered not his body now dead. It was dead, humanly speaking, but it was not dead as far as God's concerned. Nature's laws, my friend, are still God's laws. Don't ever forget that. The sun stands still at his command. It won't do anything at your command, but it'll stand still at his command. The waters of the sea dry up at his command. The rock brings forth water at his command. The skies rain down bread at his command. nature's laws are God's law. And Abraham knew that. He didn't consider his body dead. Humanly speaking, it was. But God promised something else. And verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promises of God. It didn't seem like too much to him for God to do. I read a story one time that blessed me. I haven't gotten over it yet. I read it several months ago. In 1871, a black boy left the South after the Civil War and headed for Philadelphia. He was 20 years old. He'd never seen the inside of a schoolroom. He couldn't read or write. He got a job in Philadelphia as a mortar carrier for a brick mason, stone mason. And he began to work. And the Lord saved him. God revealed Christ to his heart. And he got interested in reading the Bible and in studying books. So he started night school. He'd work during the day, and he'd go to night school to try to get an education. And he united with a church there, pretty good-sized black church in Philadelphia. And later on, he became their custodian. He became the janitor of the church. He was a janitor for several years. And then one day, that church called that boy, that man. He was almost 50 years of age, but they called him as their pastor. And for 32 years, Charles A. Tinley, pastored the largest black church in the world. For 32 years, he preached to 10,000 people every Lord's Day. Is anything too hard for God? And this same man, C.A. Tinley, wrote two of the greatest hymns that have ever been written. He wrote "Nothing Between My Soul and My Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen, nothing preventing the least of His favor, keep the way clear, let nothing between." That man wrote that hymn, wouldn't you? And he wrote this one, "If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in God's Word how He feeds a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He'll never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. 20 years old, he couldn't read. 20 years old, he couldn't write his name. When he was 60 years old, he was pastoring the biggest church in the world and writing hymns that would be sung long after he was dead. Abraham had that kind of faith. He staggered not at the promises of God. There's nothing that God cannot do. Our Lord is able to do all things. And then verse 21, it says, "And Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform." Now that's faith. That's faith. That's the faith that saves. He believed God. "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on Him," He gave His only begotten Son, "that whosoever," what? "Believeth," not worketh, not striveth, not runneth, "believeth." Now that's where Abraham was, why he was called a friend of God. That's where Abraham received his righteousness. That's how he received the benefits and blessing of God. He believed God. It says he was fully persuaded. Now, I doubt myself a lot of times, and I know you doubt yourself. Anybody with any intelligence at all knows his infirmities and imperfections and doubts himself, but not God. And Abraham knew his weaknesses and infirmities and imperfections. It doesn't say he was fully persuaded that he could do all things. He said he was fully persuaded that God could do all things. There's a difference. I can do nothing without Him. Without Him, I can do nothing. When I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Abraham was fully persuaded, fully convinced, fully satisfied that what God had promised. Now, here's the key. You need to get acquainted with that Bible and see what God promised. You see what I'm saying? See what God promised. Because what He promised, He's able to perform. That's faith. That was Paul's faith. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed. I know Him, the living God, the only God, the true God, the God of creation, the God of grace, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Calvary's cross, the God of reconciliation, the God of the Spirit of truth. I know Him. It's not just any God or some God or a God. It's the God. Christ said, this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the true and living God. I know we want to be charitable. And people are led to believe, well, just so a man's got a God, and just so he's sincere, and just so he doesn't matter whether he worships a Buddha, or whether he worships Confucius, or whether he worships Allah, or whether he worships the God of the creation. It does matter, my friend. It does matter. There's one God. Scripture said one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. Our Lord Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God. It's not enough to have a God. We've got to know the living God. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And he's a person. He's not a statue. I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know what I believe, or I know when I believe, or I know how much I believe. I know Him. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded, fully convinced. I'm confident in my soul that He's able. He's able. That's what Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God. That was the gist of his faith. That was the foundation of his faith. He believed. Not that he was able, but that God was able. God was able. He believed that God was able to perform all that he said. Now, I want to look up about three scriptures here, and I want you to listen to them carefully. What God has promised. And what he's promised, he's able to do. Now, here's the first one. Turn to Hebrews 7, verse 25. And there in Hebrews 7, 25, Paul said, wherefore, he is able. He's able. Notice it never says, I'm able. Y'all pray that I'll hold out. It's God is able. It's not my strength, it's His. It's not my grace, it's His. It's not my love, it's His. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Wherefore, he is able to save. Now, friends, there's nothing wrong with the word save. I know folks make fun of it. I know they make fun of it on television programs, and they make fun of it in cartoons, and they make fun of it in magazines, to be saved, S-A-V-E-D. But our Lord Jesus Christ used the word. He said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. To save means to rescue from sin, to rescue from being lost, to rescue from destruction, to rescue from death, to rescue from the charges of the law, to rescue from the clutches of the justice of God, to redeem, to forgive, to pardon. It's a scriptural word. And he's able to save. He's able to rescue. He's able to justify me before the law. The law has pronounced me guilty. Guilty. I can't change God's law. But our Lord can satisfy God's law. He came to clear me before the throne, the immaculate throne of God, the justice of God says guilty. But our Lord Jesus Christ has cleared me before the throne because he took my place. He took my guilt. He was numbered with the transgressors. And by His stripes, I'm healed. He's able to make me a new creature. Now, I can reform outwardly, but God will have to sanctify me inwardly. I can reform outwardly, but God will have to make me a new creature inwardly. I can walk a certain line, but He can give me the will to walk that line. I can live a certain kind of life, but He can give me a love for that kind of life. The Lord, by His Spirit, by His regenerating Spirit, by the new birth, He makes us new creatures. He gives us a new nature. When we meet the Lord, not because of a profession or a decision, but because of a supernatural work within, a regenerating new birth, we then hate what we once loved. And we love what we once hated. And He's able to put the fruits of the Spirit within me. He's able to do that. I can't do that for you, and you can't do it for me. We can pray for our children. We can witness to our children. We can talk to our friends. But only God can regenerate them. Love and joy and peace and meekness and faith and gentleness and kindness are the fruits of the Spirit, the Spirit of God. They're not products of the flesh, and they cannot be produced from a natural person's heart. They're the gift of God, the fruit of the Spirit. He's able to save to the uttermost extent of sin. 20-some-odd years ago, a man came in my study and sat down, said he wanted to talk to me, a man in his 30s. And we sat there and talked a while, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "do you believe that God will forgive sin?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you believe God will forgive any sin?" I said, "Yes, sir." "All sin?" "Yes, sir." He said, "Would God forgive a man who killed his wife and baby?" I said, "Yes, sir. If that man repents and believes the gospel, has faith in Christ, the blood of Christ, it cleanseth us from all sin. He's able to save to the uttermost." Somebody said, "To the guttermost." He said, "I just got out of jail. I murdered my wife and her unborn child. I shot him with a shotgun in a rage of temper. And I'm living in hell. And I want to know God." Our Lord's able. You stagger at the promise of God. I don't. I believe that. I believe He's able to save to the uttermost extent of time. I don't care how old you are. I baptized a man a few weeks ago, 88 years of age, who came to know Christ. He's able to save to the uttermost extent of Satan's power. Satan's powerful, but not as strong as our Lord. Our Lord said, "Peter, Satan hath desired you that he might sift you as wheat." You know, we're taught to pray in the Lord's, when the Lord taught the disciples how to pray, He said, "Pray, deliver us from evil." You said that so much. You know what you're saying? "Deliver us from evil." That's deliver us from the evil one. That's right. That's what He's saying. Deliver us from the evil one. Satan is a roaring lion, going about to see whom he may devour. He's the adversary. He's the accuser of the brethren. Did you know that? And we can only be delivered from his clutches and from his power by the power that is greater than his. And that's not you. That's Christ. And he's able to save to the uttermost extent of Satan's power. He's able to save. I believe that. He's able to save to the uttermost. Now here, watch this. Here's the key. Them that come to God by him. That's the way men are saved. They come to God by Christ. That's how they're redeemed. And then the second scripture I want you to look at is found in Jude, verse 24. There's just one chapter of this book. It's verse 24. We believe God's able to keep us from falling. Now it says in Jude 24, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence, the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy. Unto him, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory." Now, there are warnings throughout the Bible. There are warnings about departing from the faith. There are warnings throughout this Bible about departing from God. Listen to some of them. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief, brethren. If any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Christ is the Son over his house, whose house we are, if we continue in the faith." But our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is not even in our faith. But our strength is in him. He is able to keep you from falling. He is. What he has begun, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What God has begun, he'll complete in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He can keep me in the face of apostasy. Christ said, "I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth. He'll take the things of mine and show them to you." These things that I'm preaching from the Word of God, those people who have the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God's bearing witness with your heart right now that what I'm saying is so. Because the Spirit of truth in your heart. And he'll not lead you into error. God's able to keep you from the spirit of apostasy. And he's able to keep you in the face of opposition. David said, "Though my mother and father forsake me, God will take me up." He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In the face of trial, Job lost everything he had. He was stripped of his family, of his wealth, of his possessions, of his home, of his friends, of his children, of everything, of his health. And he sat there sick, broken. And he said, well, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, he didn't charge God with foolishness. God's able to keep us in the day of prosperity and the day of poverty. He is able to keep you from falling. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on and help me stand. I've got no confidence in myself, but I've got total confidence in Thee. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. And when the way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. It's not a remote possibility at all, lest I fall. Take my hand. And then last of all, He's able to raise my body. It says in Philippians 3:21, He's able to fashion our bodies like unto His glorious body. Won't that be a day? You ever think about death? I do. Be a fool not to. I'm going to die. And this body's going back to the dust from whence it came. And somebody's going to have to bring it out of the grave. And the only one who can is my living Lord. My living Lord. But He's able. I stagger not at that promise. He's able to fashion my body like unto His. He's able. Abraham believed that. Do you? Listen next week at this same time. Henry Mahan bidding you a pleasant